Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I'm back from the Crab Cake Tour, and just in time for football season, and probably in time for this guy to come into town for like a Chiefs-Ravens game, and now he knows I'm the crab cake expert, and he's the beer expert, the coffee expert, so we're going to put a meal together. Peter King joins us now. Of course, the man, the myth, the legend, and NBC and all of that good stuff. I try to get you before the season really begins. I figure this extra bye week, they're working you twice as hard, Pete.
I don't know. You just have to invent a little bit more stuff to write, Nestor, but no, I was in Baltimore last week. Saw the Ravens one day and fell in love with J.K. Dobbins. And 5 days later, he's got the disaster that befell him. I'll tell you, this is really going to be a test for DaCosta Harbaugh Incorporated, to get over this one, because they're already dealing with a bunch of injuries on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, the one thing I've talked about is off seasons, you lose to the Bills, you feel bad, you watch the Super Bowl, and you say, all right, we need wide receivers, we need to shore up the offensive line, we know what our issues are, we know who our, Matt Judons are, and what we're going to do. And then you lay this plan out. And the Ravens do that literally better than anybody, right? They've been together forever. They're the longest marriage of all the executives and coaches that outside of Bill Belichick being married to himself, over these years. And they addressed it all. We give them plaudits and praise for the offseason and managing money and drafting a wide receiver and all the things they do. And then the idiot quarterback doesn't get vaccinated. The wide receiver gets injured. The other wide receiver gets injured. The offensive line, a bunch of old guys and guys trying to get together, having trouble getting on the field. And as we sit here, they're going to get on the plane and go to Las Vegas next week. And we really don't know much about the offense. And that's probably the worst thing for laying all of these plans is – this has been disastrous in that way.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of teams. Look, this season, without any question, is going to be one of the hardest seasons to predict, I think, because, it's almost like you're playing, what is that thing, Jenga, where you take one block out of a bunch of blocks and you try to keep it from falling. I mean, quite honestly, I think the Buccaneers have a great opportunity to repeat.
Oh, don't say that. God, is that the first thing Peter King's going to say on this show to start the season? Is Tom Brady going to win again?
But just hear me out. But I will, and I'm doing this, probably tomorrow and Friday of this week before Labor Day, I have to make my picks. And what is so hard this year is I read a story online the other day about how there have been more people in the state of Florida who've died now with this new variant of the virus than soldiers who died in Afghanistan over 20 years. So my point is this isn't going away, and the Bucks, the Dolphins, and the Jaguars, they're all in the middle of it. And even people who have been vaccinated, they're also in trouble, because they can get it again. Look at the case of Rich Eisen. Rich Eisen was vaccinated. He got it. He was incredibly ill for 4 or 5 days. He passed it on to his daughter. And I mean, Rich Eisen was vaccinated back in the winter. And so, I'm not saying it doesn't matter if you're not vaccinated. Of course it matters. But the one thing I would say is that I don't know how you can guarantee anything in sports right now, because you just have no idea where it's going to hit.
Well, Peter, I feel that way right now. Like, I've gone to a couple concerts this week, right? I've been on the road, mainly outside, doing these 30 crab cakes, trying to see, how much I love music. You love music. We've been to concerts together. And the Stones are touring. And I'm like, the chances of the Stones playing those shows in November, and we've already lost Charlie Watts before this thing even starts, I'm feeling like the Eagles are playing tonight in Washington, D.C. I don't really want to go because I don't have any energy, but I better go because I feel like for 6 months, concerts are going on. I'm committed to that. I'm pretty committed to December, January, February, March, given where we are, and it may be earlier than that, that the world's going to change. I'm pretty sure the football teams, I mean, they're testing once a week now inside, that they are sort of ramping up for this. I don't think that Chicago road game in November for the Ravens, not that they won't play it, but whether there'll be people there or not, or whether people like me will want to get on an airplane to go witness it.
Yeah.
And certainly from a media standpoint, they're not letting us touch players again.
That's, you know, to me, the biggest thing about this year is I don't see us being in locker rooms, but I do see us having the ability after games to have very socially distant conversations. And in my opinion, look, after what we went through last year, where I didn't see anybody in person for the entire year, I just had a training camp trip where I saw 20 teams. And every team, I had the opportunity to bump fists with, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady and all those guys, Lamar Jackson. And the bottom line in the whole thing is it's better, but it's not over.
Peter King is here. We're talking some football as well as some real life. We'll get into cuisine and beer and coffee at another point, but with the season here for the Ravens and the Browns and the Steelers in this division, the Steelers feel a little disrespected through all this. I don't think most people expect
Agreed.
Much of them. And that sort of weirds me out as a Baltimore guy, Pete.
Well, I think the Steelers are going to be good. I really do. I mean, I watch them in the preseason when they play the Lions. And so how hard is it to beat up on the Lions? But again, you just don't know what preseason means. But for that one night, here's what it meant. It meant Ben Roethlisberger looked a lot more, you know, mobile. He looks slimmer and he's got a brand new offensive line and they protected him. Two scoring drives out of three possessions. And look, again, you don't take much into account for the preseason. But the big question about the Steelers, we know they're going to be good on defense. The big question with the Steelers is whether Ben is going to last and whether he's the Ben that he was at his best last year or the Ben that he was at his worst in the last month. And I think that last month, I don't know this. I've not talked to Roethlisberger. But I think that sort of scared him straight, and it scared him into being more physically active in this offseason, taking care of himself a little bit better. I mean, you don't want to finish your career in a Sonny Jurgensen way, paunchy, overweight, not doing your best when you're making $1 jillion. And I think by the looks of him, it looks like he's taking better care of himself in this offseason, and he's going to be better off. And I think this is not a two-way fight in this division. This is a three-way fight because I think the Steelers are going to be good.
Well, and for a guy like Roethlisberger to watch what Drew Brees did, what Peyton Manning did, despite even Elway at the end winning in that way, it's been a long time since Ben Roethlisberger, you know, touched the Lombardi Trophy, right? And the fact that he still has a chance and they're still building there, I would think watching Brady last year probably moves a competitive fella like him, huh?
I think it moves a lot of quarterbacks from Russell Wilson to Aaron Rodgers to Ben Roethlisberger. There's a lot of veteran quarterbacks in this league who want what Tom Brady has, which is an excellent supporting cast and the ability to dictate a lot of things himself. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. I think there's a lot of situations in the NFL right now that really are fascinating at the quarterback position. Pittsburgh is one of them because, you know, now you're going year to year with Roethlisberger. This could be it. So we'll see what happens.
Well, same thing with Aaron Rodgers, right? I mean, there's more than one quarterback controversy. We play Green Bay here in December, and I'm wondering what we're going to see from them. And I've looked at, like, San Diego and Indianapolis. We have those games in October. I don't know what to make of some of these teams, but I certainly respect the Chargers and the Rams with Stafford now. Some of these teams we have on the schedule with different looks, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I have to think McVay thinks that it's going to be better out in LA than it was before.
I think the whole thing right now with the Rams, I was just highly, highly impressed with the Rams in training camp. And there's a love of Stafford and a respect for what he can do right now that they just didn't have with Jared Goff. They're one of the 5, 6, 7 teams, in my opinion, that have the best chance to win the Super Bowl this year.
Peter King is here wrapping things up. Last thing for you, Tom Brady and through all of this, how stunned are you that he went somewhere else? And I guess the stunned part of winning is another level, but lots of guys like you wrote books about him and Manning and all that. We're moving into a whole different realm where before the season begins, you think that they have as good a chance. So does Vegas, by the way, that he's going to do this again.
I mean, he's 1,593 days older than the second oldest player in football. Just think of that. Basically, he's 4 years older than anybody in the NFL. And last year, he threw for more yards than Aaron Rodgers and more touchdowns than Patrick Mahomes and won the Super Bowl by 22 points.
And snuck up on us. Like nobody paid attention to him in a regular season, right?
What we are seeing, as much as people despise Brady, have been hit over the head with Brady for so long, we're seeing, in my opinion, the guy who, in the 38 years since I've covered the NFL, easily the most incredible story there is. Because you just, athletes in any sport, I mean, Michael Jordan was out of Chicago at age 35. You know, Wayne Gretzky was pretty much finished at age 39. Peyton Manning didn't play in his 40s. And it's just so different what we're seeing. And I think every year with him, as he told me a couple of weeks ago, he's going to keep playing until he's playing like crap. You know, so that's why I'd be surprised if he doesn't play at least 2 years and probably more.
Imagine that you're traveling, and I appreciate you taking some time as always. I hope when you're back here, we get a ball game. You went to an Oriole game. You got 30 seconds observation on that at all?
I was amazed at how many people. It was the Sunday afternoon game when it rained. And I didn't
lost 17 or 18, which it was one of those, right?
They had lost 18 or something. But the amazing thing to me is that people came to the game, people stayed, and people cheered for the leadoff hitter, heavy. And it's, you know, look, I would be really, really sad if this doesn't turn around soon, because Baltimore's too good a baseball town, at least in my opinion. I'm not there all the time, but I've been to so many games in that ballpark. I love it there. Can I give you one little fun story from my trip?
I love fun stories from your trip, Peter King.
Yeah. So I was in San Diego, and I was sitting in the stands, and I've met and gotten acquainted slightly with AJ Preller, the general manager of the Padres. So he had heard that I was going to be in the ballpark, and he said, "Hey, stop up and say hello." And so I went up to his box right before the game, and in his box was Hideo Nomo. And Hideo Nomo pitched for everybody in the big leagues. Now is an Asian scout / goodwill ambassador for the Padres. Okay. And he just was in town and was in the box and watching the game. And I said, "Hey, Hideo, I saw you pitch a no hitter in Camden Yards when you were with the Boston Red Sox." And he bows, and he does not speak English very well, which surprised me. Because I think he's been here for a long time.
He started the 1996 All-Star game, by the way. Yes, he's been here a while. Yeah.
So he bowed and he goes, "Camden Yards, remember." It was an April day.
I remember it well.
Yeah, and I could not believe that I was seeing a no-hitter from this itinerant guy. But anyway,
Well,
that's Peter, my Hideo Nomo story from the road.
I've written a whole chapter on no-hitters. I walked out of one in San Diego. I walked out of Bud Smith's no-hitter in the fourth inning because I had a plane to catch, and I landed and found out I walked out of it. I have a press pass and a full ticket. I did not go to the game. I walked into the Juan Nieves no-hitter in the seventh inning because he was throwing it, and I drove out to the ballpark. But I have never been at a real no-hitter. The night of Hideo Nomo, my son, who doesn't even like baseball, called me and said, "Dad, I'm going to the game tonight. Do you want to go?" And I said, "Nah, I'm going to the Record Theater to see Mike Peters of The Alarm." And I sat in there and watched the last out, and I thought, it's just not meant to be, Pete. It's not meant to be. Yeah. No hitter in me is never going to happen. I made it through 7-8 innings. Messina, never going to happen. So congratulations on one-upping me. It's great to have you on. Hey, love you, miss you.
Thanks.
Beer at a reasonable price and a crab cake when we get together, all right?
Long live Duck Pin.
Oh, you want to go duck pin bowling, do you? With duck pin beer. I like that. Peter King at a train station coming to you somewhere. Go find him out on the internet, out on Twitter, and of course at NBC Sports. You can find me anywhere the internet travels, WNST AM 1570. Crab cakes, beer, and now football. And we never stop talking. Baltimore Positive.